All right, so data, right? We love it. In software, it's like the key to making smart moves, but sometimes it feels like in software development, we're just, I don't know, measuring everything,
Yeah.
except the stuff that actually makes a difference.
You're telling me it's so easy to get like sucked into just gathering numbers, ending up with this mountain of data, and you're like, okay, now what? It doesn't actually tell you how to get better.
Exactly, which is why we're digging into this white paper today. From Octopus Deploy, they're like the masters of deployment automation. And they've got some really sharp ideas on how to actually measure, continuous delivery and DevOps and make it count.
Oh, yeah, they get right into it right off the bat. With this story that just perfectly shows how metrics can totally go off the rails, they talk about this factory where, they're tracking worker hours. Sounds pretty standard, right?
Yeah, like clocking in, clocking out.
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty straightforward way to measure things.
Right, exactly. Except the workers, they figured out they could game the system. Like they would clock each other in even if someone wasn't actually there working. Wow.
So you end up with this like completely warped picture of productivity, this totally false sense of efficiency.
Oof, talk about unintended consequences. I can totally see that happening in software development too. Like, we start obsessing over lines of code, right? And next thing you know, everybody's just churning out spaghetti code just to hit their target.
Totally. And that's why it's so important to really understand the different types of measurements and how those measurements can like shape people's behavior.
Okay, so let's break that down a little bit. What are some of the key things we need to keep in mind when we're choosing which metrics to track?
Well, the white paper really emphasizes this difference between leading and lagging indicators. Leading indicators, those are like your early warning signals. They give you a glimpse into how things might be going down the line.
Okay, so like a heads up that something might be off track. What would be a good example of a leading indicator in, the software world? Think about something like code complexity. If you start seeing that the code base is getting more and more complex, that could be a leading indicator that you're going to have like a ton of bugs later on, or that it's going to be a nightmare to maintain.
Yeah, that makes sense. So then lagging indicators, those are more about reflecting what's already happened.
Exactly. Yeah. They show you the results of like your past actions. So things like, production defects or customer satisfaction scores, those fall into that category.
Got it. So leading indicators help you course correct before things totally blow up. And lagging indicators tell you how you're actually doing, like in the eyes of your users.
You got it. That's a great way to put it. But the white paper also makes this really interesting point. Even if you've got, what seem like solid metrics, you always got to consider the human element. They use this really clever analogy about room temperature.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this room temperature thing.
All right, so imagine you've got a room and the thermostat says the temperature's perfect, right? But everyone inside is uncomfortable. Maybe there's a draft or the humidity's off. The point is, even if a metric looks good on paper, it doesn't necessarily reflect like the actual experience of the people in the room.
I see what you mean. We can't just blindly trust the numbers, right? We got to actually talk to our developers, understand their pain points, and make sure that like our metrics align with what they're actually experiencing day to day.
100%. And that brings us to another really crucial aspect, which is the different levels that we can measure things at. The white paper, it outlines four levels: activity, output, system output, and outcome.
Okay, so break that down for me. What's the difference between all those?
Okay, so think of it like this. The most basic level is activity. This is where you're measuring things like, how many lines of code somebody writes or how many tasks they complete.
Right. But as they've already talked about, like those metrics can be easily gamed, and they don't necessarily tell you much about the actual value that's being delivered.
Exactly. So then you move up to the next level, which is output. This is where you're looking at the tangible things that come out of the work. Things like, features released, bugs fixed. It's a step up from just measuring activity, but you're still not quite at the level of like actual impact.
So how do you get to that impact level?
That's where the next two levels come in: system output and outcome. So system output measures the performance of your software delivery system itself, like things like lead time for changes or how often you're deploying.
Okay, so now we're shifting the focus from like what
Yeah.
we're producing to how efficiently we're producing it.
Exactly, yeah. And then finally, the highest level is outcome. This is where you're measuring the actual impact you're having on your users and on your business. Things like, customer satisfaction, revenue generated, goals achieved, that sort of thing.
This reminds me of this one time I was on this team, and we were measured solely on like how many features we shipped each week. And it just created this like insane pressure to just churn out features, even if they weren't like well thought out,
yeah.
or if they didn't actually solve any real problems for our users.
Oof, yeah, that's a classic example of how focusing on the wrong level of measurement can lead to like a whole bunch of unintended consequences. You were basically being incentivized to just create busy work instead of actually focusing on the outcomes that mattered.
It's like we were obsessed with, you know, measuring the temperature of the heating element without ever bothering to check if the room was actually warm.
That's a perfect analogy. And the white paper, it offers some really practical advice on how to avoid falling into that trap. They highlight four key techniques: availability, aggregation, calculation, and combination.
Okay, let's unpack those. What do they mean by availability?
So availability is about being strategic with, like, who has access to what data. Sometimes, you know, if certain metrics are too visible, it can lead to, like, unhealthy competition or people trying to optimize for the wrong things.
So it's about, like, protecting people from the temptation to game the system.
Exactly, yeah. Then there's aggregation, which is about rolling up data to the appropriate level. So instead of obsessing over individual performance metrics, you can look at, like, team level data, which gives you a more holistic view, and it encourages people to collaborate.
Makes sense, yeah. It's like looking at the forest instead of getting lost in the trees.
Exactly. And then you've got calculation, which is about combining raw metrics into like more meaningful indicators. They use the example of calculating a maintenance load based on, you know, lines of code and team size, which helps you understand the true cost of maintaining a system and make more informed decisions about things like refactoring or technical debt.
Okay, I'm starting to see how these techniques can help you. Like, paint a more nuanced picture of your software delivery process. What about combination? What's that all about?
So combination is about presenting multiple metrics together to show, like, the interplay between them. They illustrate this with a really great example of a strawberry seller.
Oh, I love a good analogy. Tell me about the strawberry seller.
Okay, so imagine you're a strawberry seller, right? And you're only tracking your spending. You're not considering how much you're selling. You might end up buying the cheapest, worst strawberries because you're so focused on keeping costs down.
Yeah.
But your customers are going to be unhappy and your business is going to suffer.
That's brilliant. It really highlights how, like, focusing on just one metric in isolation can lead to some really disastrous decisions.
Yeah.
You got to look at the bigger picture and understand how different metrics relate to each other.
Exactly. And that's why it's so crucial to always be asking yourself, okay, how will I respond to this measurement? And how might other people behave differently because of it?
So let's try to put this into practice. Let's say we have a metric like number of deployments per week. It seems like a pretty good indicator of, you know, how quickly you're delivering software, right?
Yeah, on the surface, sure.
But what kind of unintended consequences could that create?
Well, if you're not careful, it could incentivize people to just deploy like tiny insignificant changes just to boost their numbers. Or even worse, they might start rushing deployments without proper testing, which could lead to more bugs and actually slow you down in the long run.
Right. You'd be optimizing for speed, but sacrificing quality and stability in the process. So it sounds like having, you know, a diverse set of metrics, both leading and lagging, covering different levels of measurement, can really help you get a more holistic view.
Absolutely. It's about creating like a balanced scorecard that reflects the, you know, the complex reality of software development. You can't just rely on one single metric to tell the whole story.
This is really making me think of it.
Yeah.
All the times I've been measured on things that didn't really reflect the value I was actually creating. It's like we're all just playing this game of like metric manipulation instead of focusing on what truly mattered.
Yeah, that's the danger of poorly designed metrics, right? They can create these perverse incentives and distract you from your actual goals.
Okay, so we've talked about like the different types of measurements, the levels at which you can measure things, but how do you actually go about choosing the right metrics for your team, for your organization?
That's where things get really interesting. It's about taking a step back and asking yourself, what are we ultimately trying to achieve here? Are we focused on, you know, delivering new features quickly, or is it more about improving system stability or maybe increasing customer satisfaction? Once you have a clear understanding of your goals, then you can start figuring out which metrics will actually help you track your progress and make better decisions.
So it's not about like blindly copying what other companies are doing or chasing the latest trendy metrics. It's about aligning your measurements with your own specific context and goals.
Exactly. And the white paper does briefly mention a couple of frameworks that can be helpful in this process, the DoorEntrix and the SPACE framework,
yeah.
But we can dive into those a little bit later.
Sounds good. For now, I think the key takeaway is that we need to be really deliberate about our measurement choices, right? It's not a set it and forget it kind of thing. You got to constantly evaluate your metrics, make sure they're still serving their purpose, and be willing to adjust your approach as needed.
Exactly. It's about treating metrics as tools, not tyrants. They can be incredibly powerful when used wisely, but they can also lead you astray if you're not careful.
Yeah, it's like having this toolbox, right?
Yeah.
Full of all these different instruments. You wouldn't use a hammer to measure a piece of wood.
No way. I'd end up with more splinters than measurements, that's for sure. Exactly. Each metric has its own purpose, and we got to understand. Like, what are the strengths of each one, and what are the limitations?
So when we're talking about measuring software delivery, what are some of the common, pitfalls that teams run into?
One of the biggest ones, I think, is focusing on what we call vanity metrics. These are metrics that look really impressive on the surface, but they don't actually tell you anything useful about, how healthy your software delivery process really is.
Oh, I've definitely seen that before. Like when companies brag about having millions of users, but then you find out that most of those users haven't even logged in for months.
Exactly. Or when teams celebrate hitting some arbitrary number of deployments per week, but they're not even thinking about the quality of those deployments or the impact they're actually having.
Yeah, it's like we're giving ourselves a pat on the back for being busy, but we're not actually creating anything of value.
You got it. We need to shift our focus from activity to outcomes. Instead of measuring how many lines of code we're writing, we should be asking ourselves, are we actually solving our users' problems? Are we delivering real business value?
But measuring outcomes, that can be tricky, right? Like, how do you quantify something like user satisfaction or business impact?
It's definitely not as simple as, just counting lines of code. But there are ways to measure those things effectively. You can look at things like customer churn rate, for example, or feature adoption, or even the revenue that's being generated.
Okay, so it's about getting creative.
Yeah.
And finding those metrics that truly reflect the impact you're having on your users and on your bottom line.
Exactly. And that brings us back to this idea of unintended consequences, right? When we choose the wrong metrics, or even if we're using the right metrics, but we're using them in the wrong way, we can accidentally create these perverse incentives that actually work against what we're trying to achieve.
Right. We already talked about how measuring deployments per week could lead to people just deploying tiny, insignificant changes. What are some other examples of those unintended consequences that we should be watching out for?
Let's say, for instance, that you start measuring individual developer productivity based on how many lines of code they write. What do you think might happen there?
I can see that backfiring pretty badly.
Yeah.
Like, developers might start writing unnecessarily verbose code just to pump up their numbers.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll avoid collaborating with others because they're worried it'll dilute their individual metrics.
Exactly. You've essentially created this system where people are rewarded for working in silos and producing bloated code, which is the exact opposite of what you want.
It's like you've created this monster that's actively working against you and undermining your efforts to build high-quality software.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So that's why it's so important to really think critically about those potential downstream effects of your metrics. You gotta anticipate how people might game the system.
Yeah.
And design your metrics in a way that encourages the behaviors you actually want to see.
So it's not just about choosing the right metrics. It's also about implementing them in a way that, minimizes those unintended consequences.
Absolutely. And that brings us to another really important point, which is transparency. When you're transparent about your metrics and how you're using them, it helps build trust and alignment within the team.
Right, because if people understand why you're measuring certain things, and how those measurements connect to the overall goals, they're more likely to buy into the process and work towards those shared objectives.
Exactly. And transparency also helps you identify and address any unintended consequences more quickly. Like if you start to see that a particular metric is leading to some undesirable behaviors, you can adjust your approach or even just get rid of that metric altogether.
It's about treating metrics like a living, breathing system. Something needs to be constantly evaluated and refined.
I love that analogy. Metrics aren't static, right? They need to evolve along with your team, your product, your goals.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about the different types of measurements, the different levels, the importance of avoiding those unintended consequences, the need for transparency. What are some other key considerations that we should keep in mind when we're choosing and implementing metrics?
One thing that I think often gets overlooked is the importance of context. A metric that works really well for one team or one organization might be totally inappropriate for another.
Right. There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to metrics.
Exactly. You need to consider your team size, your development methodology, the complexity of your product, all sorts of factors. What works for a small startup might not work for a large enterprise, you know?
It's like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah.
You got to find the metrics that fit your unique situation.
Another really crucial factor is the maturity of your software delivery process. Like, early on, you might focus on some more basic metrics, things like, you know, build success rate or code coverage. But as you mature, you can start tracking some more sophisticated metrics, like lead time for changes or deployment frequency.
So it's about starting simple and then gradually expanding your measurement system as you gain more experience and confidence.
Exactly. And it's also important to remember that, you know, metrics are only one piece of the puzzle. You can't rely on numbers alone to tell you everything. You need to actually talk to your developers, observe how they're working, and gather some qualitative data to complement those quantitative measurements.
Right, because metrics can give you some really valuable insights, but they don't always capture the nuances of human behavior or the complexity of the software development process.
It's like trying to understand a painting.
Yeah.
By just analyzing its chemical composition, you might get some interesting data points. But you're going to miss the beauty, the emotion, the artist's intent.
I love that analogy. It's a good reminder that software development is. It's both a technical and a creative endeavor.
Exactly. And we need to approach our measurement efforts with that same blend of rigor and creativity. We need to be data-driven, for sure, but we also need to be human-centered.
This has been a super insightful conversation. I feel like I've learned so much about, the power of metrics in software development, but also the potential pitfalls.
It's been great chatting with you about this stuff.
So you mentioned the Jora metrics in the SPACE framework earlier. Can you give us a quick overview of those before we wrap up?
Yeah, absolutely. So Jora, that stands for DevOps Research and Assessment. It's basically a set of four key metrics that has been shown to be really strong predictors of, you know, how well your software delivery is performing. Those metrics are deployment frequency, lead time for changes, mean time to recover, and change failure rate.
Okay, so these are the gold standard for measuring DevOps success.
They're definitely a good place to start. And what's great about the Jora metrics is that they're focused on outcomes, not just activity.
Right, so they tell you how effectively you're delivering value to your users, not just how busy you are.
Exactly. And then there's the SPACE framework, which stands for satisfaction, performance, activity, communication, and efficiency.
Okay, that's a lot to unpack. What's the elevator pitch for SPACE?
Sure. So SPACE is a more holistic framework. It takes into account the human side of software development. It looks at things like, you know, developer well-being, team dynamics, organizational culture, that sort of thing.
So it's recognizing that, you know, happy and productive developers are essential for building great software.
Exactly. SPACE helps you understand how all those different factors contribute to the overall performance of the team and identify areas where you can improve.
This is all super valuable information. I feel like we've just scratched the surface of these frameworks. But it's clear that they offer a really powerful lens for understanding and improving your software delivery process.
Mm.
It sounds like Jora and SPACE, they really bring in the bigger picture. They go beyond just, you know, the technical stuff.
Totally. They remind us that software development, at the end of the day, it's a human thing. We got to think about the people as much as we think about the tech.
Which brings us back to the main point of this whole white paper, right? It's about choosing the right metrics and using them in a smart way. It's not just about hoarding data. It's about using that data to really understand your process, to figure out where you can improve, and ultimately to deliver more value to your users.
Couldn't have said it better myself. We got to be thoughtful, intentional, and always questioning our assumptions when it comes to metrics.
You know, this whole conversation has been really eye-opening for me. I've definitely fallen into some of these traps we've been talking about, focusing on the wrong things, creating those weird incentives, and just forgetting about the human element.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there. The important thing is to, recognize those pitfalls and approach measurement with a curious and critical mindset.
So let's bring it back to our listeners. What are some, practical things they can take away from all this, things they can apply to their own work?
The first thing I would say is, Start by really nailing down your goals. Like, what are you actually trying to achieve here? Once you have a crystal clear understanding of that, then you can start figuring out, okay, what are the metrics that'll actually help me track my progress and make those smart decisions?
So it's about aligning your measurements.
Yeah.
With the outcomes you want to see.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to experiment, you know? Try different things, see what works, and be ready to, like, adjust your approach as you go.
Yeah, it's a journey. Just like software development itself.
Totally. And remember, metrics, they're tools. They're not the boss of you. Use them wisely and they can be super powerful. But if you let them control you, they can take you down a pretty bad path.
It's like that old saying, right? If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. But I think I'd add to that. If you're measuring the wrong thing, you might manage yourself straight into a disaster.
Uh-huh. I like that. It's all about being mindful and intentional.
You know what really stuck with me from this white paper? It was that idea of, like, injecting deliberate failures to test how resilient your system is.
Oh, yeah. That's such an interesting concept. It's like intentionally pushing your system to the edge. Seeing where it breaks, it might sound kind of crazy, but it can actually help you build a much more robust system in the long run.
It's kind of like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right.
Right. But in this case, it's more like, what doesn't break your system helps you build a better one.
Exactly. It makes you question, like, what does success even mean in software development? Maybe it's not about avoiding failures completely, but about learning from those failures and building a system that can gracefully handle those inevitable bumps in the road.
So maybe failure isn't such a bad word after all. Maybe it's an opportunity to learn, to adapt, to build something even better.
I think so. It's about shifting from, like, this fear of failure to a culture of continuous learning and improvement.
Well, this has been an awesome deep dive. We've covered so much. From those dangerous vanity metrics to the importance of measuring outcomes, from the power of transparency to, like, embracing those deliberate failures.
It's been a blast.
And for our listeners, if you're ready to, like, really dive deep into this topic, check out the full white paper from Octopus Deploy. It's packed with insights and practical advice that can help you take your measurement game to the next level. And remember, you can find more podcasts like this one by searching Software Delivery Notebook. We'll catch you next time on the Deep Dive.